Next on BYUSN, the always wonderful transfer portal giveth and it taketh away. What does Keelan Marion and Harrison Taggart entering the portal mean for BYU football? BYU TV analyst Blaine Fowler joins us to discuss Marion and Taggart entering the portal and who he expects to replace their production.
We spoke with linebacker Asiali Asare on the cruise about how he feels about spring ball, how strong BYU's culture is, etc. And the unbelievable weekend for Cougar softball against Utah. They had how many walk-offs? Not one, not two, but three against Utah. Amazing.
Agbayani sends his one high and far! Cougars win! Are you kidding me?
There is no joke about it. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Monday, April 21st. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who is somewhat rested, a little more tan, and probably feeling really tired like me, Jerem Jordan.
I don't have the braids like my son got in Puerto Vallarta, but the last week being on the cruise was amazing. I said it multiple times on the cruise, but it was a slice of heaven. Hanging out with my fam in fun locations, being around other, my aunt and uncle were on the cruise as well, my in-laws, like being with all these friends from BYU, good times, the panels, meeting people that I maybe hadn't met before, connecting with other people, being in cool locations. This is what I want heaven to be like, that experience. I mean, it was a little slice of that. If you didn't have a chance to go, if you can, in 2027 in the Caribbean, in the summer sometime, details still TBD. Try and do it because it was amazing. I don't know if I've had that much sort of fun and joy in a week before. I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't think anybody really knew what to expect because it had never been attempted before. But then you get on the boat and it is...
They told us it's a ship, right?
Sorry. You get on the ship.
I still call it a boat, but I feel
not
you.
A boat, even though there was a show called The Love Boat.
Yeah, wait a
and
minute.
It was on a cruise ship.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Apparently, it is, yes, a ship. But when we got on the ship, it was like, okay, let's start to feel this out. What's this going to look like? The casino, not surprisingly, was very dead. But I do want to share this. Talked to several staff members and BYU fans who spoke to staff members as well.
Yep.
And said that the Royal Caribbean staff had never had a more enjoyable week working. Because the people were so nice.
Good. They were great.
And very complimentary.
They were great.
And hopefully not super demanding. But I thought that was a tribute.
Not at the bars, they weren't.
That was on the ship. Not the boat. Everybody that was on the ship.
I think Elder Holland said at one conference, right? Stay in the boat. Stay in the ship.
In this instance, yeah, stay in the ship. All rise and shout. Lots to discuss in What's Trending.
Shoots a gap. There he goes. Touchdown, Keelan Marion. Throws intercepted. Harrison Taggart. Caught. The five. The touchdown. Keelan Marion.
What's trending presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. If you've been paying attention on social media, and many of you have, over the weekend, two big names from BYU football officially entered into the transfer portal, prompting a lot of head scratching and a lot of asking the question, why? Wide receiver Keelan Marion and linebacker Harrison Taggart both officially now portaling. What kind of impact does this have on BYU football, Jerem?
Is that the word we use now? Portaling? They're portaling. Always tough to lose a first team All-American. That's what Keelan Marion was in kick return specifically.
Oh, it stinks.
He led BYU in all-purpose yards. He was a good receiver. He was a great returner. Had five touchdowns, two rushing, two kickoff returns, one receiving this last year. It's weird that he had more rushing and kickoff return touchdowns than receiving. But this is a guy that overall, just very athletic, very quick. Explosiveness is what comes to mind when I think about what he did last year. That's tough. And then Harrison Taggart, you have a very good defense last year for BYU. You might argue great, right? 69 tackles, second on the team, three PBUs. He could get out in coverage. He could fill the hole and make a pop, tackle the Doak Walker Award winner, Ollie Gordon the second, in the backfield. Those kinds of plays. So that's tough as well. To me, these two departures, potential departures, although it sounds like Keelan's gone, TBD on Harrison Taggart. And we've seen guys come back before, so we'll see. That's a sign of success as opposed to some issue in the locker room to me. There are minimal to zero issues with BYU football's culture right now. It's going great. To me, when you win a lot, you will get an opportunity to perhaps get drafted if you may not have been, like, or, you know, maybe you get more NIL at the school you're at, or you look elsewhere and get a different opportunity
there are
depending
other teams.
On what you want.
Yes, there are other teams that are watching what these players are doing. Welcome to college football and college sports free agency.
Is that not what BYU has done with Robert Wright III? Guy jumps in the portal. This guy was awesome last year. We would like you to play here. Would you like to play here? And you work it out. So it's going to be a loss to lose Keelan Marion. Hopefully BYU doesn't lose Harrison Taggart. If they do, we'll talk about who's behind these guys and what's there and is it, how big of a loss is it. It's a big loss to lose Keelan Marion. It's a loss to lose Harrison Taggart. So it's a bummer, but you can't just get and never give. That's what the portal is. At some point, you lose players, and sometimes you get players. You certainly want that ratio to be a certain way, but we can't act like there's never going to be dudes jumping in the portal, or women, for that matter, in any sport. So it's a bummer, but welcome to anyone can transfer any season. Like, these are not the highest profile athletes that have jumped into the portal and left before. Even at BYU, I would argue to this point, Shaylee Gonzalez is the best player that has left BYU. Went to Texas, had some great success, and so on and so forth. It is part of the game, but it is a bummer.
Amateurism is dead in collegiate sports.
What does that even mean? What's amateurism?
These are
high school sports.
Paid,
they can get paid now in high school.
High-level athletes. And as good as BYU was, and as immaculate as the culture is, and as just all of the good vibes, I know all of you are asking, but why? This doesn't happen. This isn't supposed to happen to BYU when they're coming off an 11-2 season and everything was good.
It's a sign of success.
Both these guys went all the way through spring football. I think the timing of it plays into why people are so disconcerted about this. Like,
tomorrow's the last day to
Why did they go through the entirety of spring football and then jump in?
Because someone may have reached out and said, we'll pay you X.
A lot of things are being discussed all the way through the spring. And in the world of collegiate athletes and college athletics now, you can have somebody enter the game late and say, hey, we really like you. We need you. We want you to be the guy, and we're going to pay you X.
Wait, isn't that tampering? Other people that aren't direct associated with
there are workarounds.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are workarounds.
Also, we don't know everything that every one of these players want. Typically, we put on people our desires and think they think the same thing we do about a given subject or prioritize the same things. That's not the case. We also don't know, just because you went go 11-2 doesn't mean everything is super smooth. I think generally the culture of BYU is great. But there are individual desires and hopes and dreams and situations that are manifest individually. And we don't always know said reason. So to answer the question why,
you'd
have to hear from them.
It would
they
be
have
reckless.
To tell you that.
It would be reckless for us to speak for these athletes.
Unless they gave us permission to do
We're
so.
Not,
and they have not.
In large part, going to do this. It could be any number of reasons.
Yeah.
Heck, we've seen players leave because they frankly wanted to be closer to home. They had family issues and they wanted to be home closer to help out.
Sure.
Like that factors into
That's not the case with Harrison Taggart.
It's not all about everybody just points to, well, clearly he's just chasing money. You don't know that. Be fair to the athlete. We don't know that. It would be reckless for us to assume just that, it's just about the money. The culture's bad. There are so many different reasons that play into this. They might want to go play for a specific coach because they knew them, or I don't know. Like, but what we're not going to do is focus on all of the different, well, what if it's this or what if it's this?
I don't blame someone if they do chase the money, by the way, because isn't that what most people do after college when they have a job?
Why did Dallin Hall
most
leave?
People.
We love Dallin. We love Keelan. We love Harrison. These are really, really important pieces of BYU athletics. Last year,
regardless
and what
of what
they
the next
did,
step is,
we're going to cheer for them wherever they land. In Dallin's case, it's Virginia. Keelan's already been offered by the likes of Oklahoma and Arkansas and Miami and others.
Yeah, I'll cheer for them no matter what, unless they go to Utah. Then I won't cheer for them.
Which is totally fair.
Just saying.
What does this mean?
Love you, but...
It means BYU's special teams take a step back. They probably go from an A to like a B or a B+, because they lose a really good piece.
And maybe Parker Kingston is the kickoff guy now. Maybe
yes.
Cody Hagan's the kickoff guy.
They can still be really good. Kelly Papinga is still an awesome special teams coordinator and will line things up for whoever is filling the shoes of Keelan Marion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And BYU's linebacker depth takes a hit. What does it mean? Yeah, they take a hit. But now the opportunity arises for others to step up and take their places.
That's the number one phrase associated with anytime.
Next man up.
Step up. Mediocre movie. So who do you expect to replace the production of Keelan Marion and Harrison Tucker?
What's interesting about this is, and maybe you disagree with me, but I believe that these are the two deepest position groups on the entire team, the wide receivers and the linebackers. The secondary has a case.
I think safety's pretty deep.
Secondary has a case.
Yeah.
As far as the wide receivers go, Tay Nakua had an outstanding spring ball, so maybe
what's the last name you just said?
Another Nakua.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is an opportunity for Tay to step up. You already mentioned Cody Hagan. BYU's coaches love the mid-year enrollee, LaMason Waller. They think his athleticism is elite, and we don't use that in vain. That's a coach's word
there.
Chase Roberts might get more targets, Jerem. Not a terrible thing.
Not a bad thing.
If he gets more catches and more footballs thrown his way, so be it. Parker Kingston has gone to another level as well.
To me, Chase Roberts is a potential top 10 receiver in BYU history when he walks out of here.
Absolutely.
Like, he's shown us he can be that guy.
What do you expect, or who do you expect? I expect Chase Roberts to get the majority or at least a significant uptick in footballs thrown his direction with a guy like Keelan Marion leaving. There will be others that replace the production.
But you do look at that graphic that we showed a minute ago. You have three dudes that have caught a combined two balls. So it's Chase, Parker, and the boys, right? So back to this one. Good job by our production crew listening to me. I appreciate it. Tay, Cody, LaMason, they haven't had a lot of catches, right? But we're excited about them. So it falls on Chase and Parker to do a lot of the work there.
Yes, and I know that the graphic is showing JoJo Phillips. We don't know what his role will be.
Sorry, and JoJo.
Right? We don't know what his role will be. Yeah. Perhaps he's a guy that could step up. Now that Keelan is gone,
and I would finish.
There's more of an opportunity for a guy like that to go and get it. But let's not kid ourselves. All of these receivers, they're all being pursued by other schools too.
Yes, the portal closes tomorrow. It doesn't mean you have to sign with anybody by tomorrow. It means you have to be in it. But tomorrow's the last day to jump in.
I hope nobody else jumps in.
I hope no one does, but let's be honest. There's a probability or a possibility that somebody does. Should an opportunity be there. I also wonder, Spence, if BYU's kind of done in the haggle game. Oh, I'm jumping in here because I want to sort of leverage myself. It didn't work out successfully for Cody Epps. Did that, came back, didn't really produce, kind of in and out with some injuries. I wonder how BYU feels about sort of that idea of like, are they... Okay, if you do that, you're just done.
You're in or you're out. Straight up.
I'm just asking the question. I'm just wondering. I'm not hinting at anything. I'm just wondering. So it sounds like Marion's gone. We'll see what Taggart does. But relative to – you covered wide receivers really well. Linebackers, let's talk about it. So the middle linebackers specifically behind Harrison Taggart. You got Ace Kafusi, a guy who had 10 tackles last year, third-year guy. Naki Tuakoi, very excited about him. Big-time recruit who redshirted last year. Heavily recruited. Notre Dame, Oregon, Tennessee, they all wanted this kid. Future's bright with him. Tyler Payne had 352 tackles in high school. That's Matt Payne's son. He was a freshman.
Yeah, that's a name we haven't heard a ton about.
Top 10 guy in Utah. Now, he's the most inexperienced of those three, has not been in the program until this year, right? So those are your three middles. And then you look at the others, obviously Jack Kelly and Isaiah Glasker. But Siali Asara is
the guy
who will replace Harrison Taggart, we think. I wonder if the upside for Siale is high enough to where we're actually pretty excited about the opportunity for Siale Asara. We saw the pick against TCU 2 years ago. We saw him play later in the season, coming off an injury. He was on the ship, the cruise. We got to hang out with him quite a bit.
He got after Colorado in the Alamo Bowl.
He is a big dude. He is a bigger dude. Like, he has NFL size. We'll see if he has the speed. Like, we're excited about Ciale. So
he has added muscle, and he has leaned down, and he's still a massive human being.
Isera, Kafusi, Ace, Tuokoi, Payne. There's your four middles that you're looking at. And, of course, we like the outside backers and what they bring. I think linebackers are loaded. If Haggard does, in fact, leave, Ciale, Isera, it's his job to lose, it would appear.
Just head-to-head, as good and as consistent and physical as Harrison Taggart was for BYU, I do feel like the ceiling for a guy like Ciale Isera is higher. Just his innate athleticism and what the coaches are going to ask him to do, I feel like his ceiling is higher. Again, this is nothing against Harrison. Harrison was awesome.
He was very good.
I love Harrison Taggart. I want him back.
I'd love for him to come back, too.
I want him to figure out a way to come back and be a huge part of BYU football in 2025. But if he does leave, I guess the coping mechanism in my mind is, well, this will allow Ciale Isera to start the ascension up to his ceiling, which I believe is higher.
We've seen enough to be excited.
He can get going on that fast track a little quicker, right? And now it's just like, you're the dude. So go be the guy. And I'm excited for Ciale.
And he had a good spring, apparently.
Yes. So we're excited. Yes. We're excited. He said as much to us in our interview and all the coaches.
We're hearing outside of him, too. I like the source outside of the guy. I had a great spring.
Kalani,
of course you did.
Kalani, in fewer words, essentially, speaking of Ciale Isera, to me said, they don't know. But
they're about to find out.
Okay?
Out of context.
Our question of the day. With Keelan Marion and Harrison Taggart entering the transfer portal, how would their departures impact BYU football? They haven't officially left yet, so we're still using the hypothetical.
Keeping that door open for them. Yeah.
How would their departures impact BYU football? At Jackson underscore Zumwalt on X says, off of vibes, this stinks, and 5 years ago, this could hurt our team. But in the year 2025, BYU is the deepest team I've seen since he was born. He says 2003.
I thought he meant the 03 team. I was like, no, they didn't make a bowl game.
So it hurts, but it's not the end of the world. Yeah. The receiver room is deep. The linebacker room is deep, and I trust these coaches.
Yeah, and I get really annoyed when people use deep in vain, like walking into fall camp. Oh, so deep. It's like, well, do you have enough proven guys and enough like high-profile recruits to feel like that? We don't know what these guys are going to do it when they have the opportunity, but we're excited to see them. So, yes, I do agree with that.
Yes. The question, I just keep getting so many of my people in my circle. Why can't we just pay these guys? Why can't we just pay these guys? Just pay them. It is not that simple. It's also, not.
Yeah. Well, is it?
It isn't.
If you have the funds, you just pay them. It feels like a simple thing. You just got to find enough money, I guess. I don't know. Okay, what's better than one walk-off to beat Utah? It's two walk-offs. That's the answer. BYU actually had three. Let's talk about it. Thursday, extra inning comeback. Then Friday, BYU is down 9-1 in the seventh, which is the final inning. And then this happened.
Payoff pitch. Ogbayani sends this one high and far. Cougars win. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Thursday was a 14-13 comeback.
They were down 13-9.
When they were down, 12-7, 13-9. So which comeback was better, Thursday or Friday? And, oh, by the way, Saturday they were down. And then they 8-run ruled Utah for a walk-off.
They scored 9 runs in an inning on Saturday as well. They scored 9 runs in one inning in back-to-back games.
Amazing. Amazing.
The Friday win was better. Are you kidding me? In the words of Brandon Crow, who was calling the game, you're down 8-1. We're on the tarmac. I'm watching the game. I watch Utah score their 8th run. And I looked at my wife, Brittany, and I was like, ugh, bummer. And in our day and age,
get the kids settled in the seats.
It's unbelievable. We didn't have internet on a plane, but we didn't.
We did there, but not on the way home. I think that was plane specific.
Uh-huh. Yep. No internet access on the way home, so I thought, okay, 8-1.
It's too bad.
They can win the series tomorrow if they just win Saturday's game. Okay? Stinks to lose to Utah. We land.
And you're like.
No, this is last night's game they're talking about, right?
Huh? And
this is last night's game. It says 10-8. Like, come on, they did it again? 9 runs? Special, special. And listen, Utah's a bad softball team this year. BYU needed to win all three of those games to maintain their RPI status, which is low 40s. Very, very important.
They made it
wins.
A little dramatic without unnecessarily. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
They did it.
Which is better? It's got to be Friday.
Friday.
Although it is nice to 8-run rule somebody. Just be like, Sorry, we're going to end this early.
Yeah.
This is how bad this is.
They scored early.
Do you wish
Saturday.
There was an 8-run rule in baseball, college baseball?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Those can get a little.
Speed up the games.
Yep. Okay. Not in MLB, though. Not in MLB.
Softball not the only team in action over the weekend. Doing good work. BYU men's volleyball also in that conversation. They wrap up the regular season this weekend, beating Pepperdine both matches at home.
Did it.
They earned the 3 seed in the MPSF tournament. Jerem, BYU has to win the MPSF tournament to get into the NCAA tournament.
Only 2 at-large. They're not going to get it.
What are your expectations for BYU in the approaching MPSF tournament?
They play Thursday in the quarterfinals, probably against Stanford or Menlo, a D2 team.
Win.
Then they would play. Brigham beat Stanford twice. Then they play USC. BYU went to 5 and lost in 3. They lost both against USC. That could be interesting.
Both on the road, though, yeah?
No, at home.
Oh, they were home.
Yeah. So I expect BYU to get to the semis, and then let's compete and see if we can't get to the final.
Can you make magic happen?
Me, personally? No.
On Friday.
You know me. The answer, though.
It would be fun just get to the tournament final, and then it's like, hey.
It's one game.
One match to
probably
try
against
and get
UCLA,
into the tournament.
Who
one
just
match.
Lost, by the way, on Saturday.
And BYU played UCLA tough as well.
19-17 was the
so
fifth.
Close.
On the first
against game. Both those teams. That's the beauty of tournament play. It's just one match. I love it.
Let's see if they can't get to Saturday.
All right.
Baseball plays at Utah Valley tonight, 8 Eastern time on BYU Radio, ESPN+. Cougars won 9-3 last week in Provo, trying to do it again up in Orem.
After the break, dual threat analyst Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, is also off the ship. Not a boat! To discuss the impact of Keelan Marion and Harrison Taggart and their portaling scenario. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
They've got great depth at wide receiver. And then I feel like the defense just picks up where they left off. And so I come out of spring ball and I'm going, why not just pick up where they left off and why not make it to the college football playoff?
Expectations high.
Let's go.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. Nice, appropriate shirt today, by the way.
Thanks. I didn't really wear it on the ship because Paige, my 9-month-old, spilled Jell-O all over it.
Gotta
so
wash it.
I washed it, yeah. And here we are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, and you told me you were wearing yours, so I didn't wear mine specifically.
Oh, next time. You know I love when we wear the same shirt.
I did you a favor. Like, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. A guy who also picked up a shirt on the ship is Blaine Fowler. He is our dual threat analyst covering BYU football and BYU men's basketball. Blaine, how are you feeling after the sway of the ship and getting back into normal life back in Provo?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Although, to give the viewers a kind of a feeling, all of us are a little bit like this right today every once in a while. Like, the ship's still moving. So, hey, and note, two of my favorite people on the entire cruise, Paige and Navy.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I love those two. Oh, my goodness. Brendan and I just fell in love with your two baby daughters. They are the cutest things in the world. We just love them to pieces.
Navy's cute with their little glasses and her blonde hair.
Oh,
her voice is so high. Like, it's great.
That cruise was like going on a cruise with 3,500 members of your family. Like,
yes.
I've never had anything like it. It was amazing, it was so fun.
It was incredible. I can't wait for the next one, honestly. And
they're
going to have to get a ship that's twice as big because everyone that went on that cruise is going to be back, it feels like. And
so
they're going to tell their friends and family. And Cougar Nation, if you have a chance to go, it was incredible. Athletics did a wonderful job. What were some of your highlights of the cruise? What did you enjoy the most?
I loved reconnecting with some of my teammates. Like, I keep in touch with Jim McMahon, but not as much as I should. And I had dinner with Jim 3 of those nights, and to catch back up with Jim, to hear what he's doing and to reminisce. And a lot of other teammates and players that I haven't been in touch with enough. And this reconnect was fantastic, but also the connection with the fans was unbelievable. They were so kind and gracious and respectful. And I was so pleased with how everything was laid out and how everything worked. And the entertainment on that ship was like way up here. Like, it was elite. We, you know how we don't like to use that word, yep. right? Unless somebody's
yep.
really good.
Yep.
For a cruise ship, remember, cruise ship people, typically their entertainment, are trying to get where the people BYU brought back from their current places. Like, I think about Savannah, who played Mary Poppins in the West End in London and played Galinda in Wicked. Like, that's the level of talent that we had. And that's just to name one. It was so fun and so well done. I can't wait for 2027 in the summer because it really did feel like a cruise with just all family. And I know the passengers that I talked to as we were getting off in line and getting off felt the same way. And the panels that we were all able to participate in and host, how fun were those? And how good were the legends, the former athletes, the current athletes, and just connecting? It was such a great opportunity. And I didn't know quite what to expect. And Brenda and I came off of that cruise. And other than the fact that Brenda got a little sick early in the cruise, not seasick, but had a little gallbladder. I don't know if that's too much information. But
all good.
By the way, a very gracious physician just took care of us and just took care of Brenda. Alan Day, who's a family physician, he took care of her. He got antibiotics for her. He got her on pain medicine. He probably kept her out of the hospital in Mexico. So we have a great debt of gratitude that we owe to Alan Day. But that's just how it was. It was just family taking care of family. And I loved it. And we're absolutely in for next go around. And I was just thinking yesterday, I was already missing you guys and hanging with you guys every day.
Every day.
We see each other a lot.
It was great.
But we're not together with our families and everything. So I'm missing you guys already, even though I'm on the air with you on Monday morning. I missed you over the weekend.
It's good to have you back, even if it is over Zoom. Many smiles, tons of laughs. But the world of sports and at BYU goes on. So while we are transitioning back from the boat in California, the ship in California.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. We get news that Keelan Marion and Harrison Taggart have entered the transfer portal, and we're kind of going, huh? What? Wait, what? Why now? What's going on? What's happening? And then all the text messages start flying like, do you know what's happening? Do you know what they said? What they're thinking? We're choosing not to speak for those players, Blaine, but we are discussing what this means for BYU football and how it will impact the Cougars in 2025. So if those two guys do indeed end up ultimately leaving BYU, what kind of impact would it have on the Cougars football product?
It's an interesting thing, and it's not a coincidence that the position groups where we're having projected starters transfer are the deepest position groups on the team. And when I say it's not a coincidence, if you're Harry Taggart or you're Keelan Marion and you're looking and you're saying to yourself, man, I wonder if I test the waters, if I can go someplace and I can be the man, you know, like where I can be the number one option without question. And maybe to be that number one option, I can get a little bit more money. That doesn't happen when you are the man and when the position group's thin. And so in terms of impact, those guys leave, but the covers aren't bare at those positions. And the last starter that kind of went out and not didn't start every game, but was Crew Wakely. Safety position is just loaded. We know that, especially with young talent that was going to push Crew. The linebacker room is loaded. Guys that transferred this last year, Ciala Acera, or that redshirted last year, Ciala Acera comes up as a sophomore. Crazy talented, big, fast, great in space. Miles Hall, also just going to be a sophomore this year. Ace Kafusi. All of these guys come back, and these were guys that were going to be pushing for playing time. Not because they're better than Taggart. Taggart's a phenomenal player, and it will hurt to lose him because he's so productive and he knows exactly what he's doing out there. But that room, as you look at this graphic, is loaded with talent. And it's loaded with young talent. And then I look on the outside, and remember, BYU plays a lot of 4-2-5 where guys play, they're interchangeable inside and out. So add to the guys that I just mentioned, and then you got Isaiah Glasker back, you got Jack Kelly back, you got Stroh Bryant, Struthers back, you got Micah Kafusi back. Like, these guys can all play. I think the guy that we're going to see step up and play really well, and we got to know him even better on the cruise, is Ciala Acera, who is he's a guy that I think when he came out of high school, people were thinking, he's such a big kid already. He's crazy fast, but he's going to be 280 pounds and he's going to play D end. He's not 280. He's like 245 or 250 and still has all of that speed. And so he is going to be a really, really good linebacker. And he's going to be pressed into action where he's going to have to play more snaps than maybe he would have as a sophomore this year. But that combination of him and Hall and Ace Kafusi, I think they're in great shape at linebacker. And Will, is it a shame that, Harry's going out? Yeah, it is, because he's so good and he's so productive. Will somebody just step up and pick up? Absolutely they will. I'm not that worried about that position group because there's so much depth at that group that they'll figure out a combination. And, you know, at every group you want to stay healthy. And they're elite, elite, elite. I'm saying that, three elites. And, you know, we don't, like, just like we said, well, we elite with Isaiah and Jack, right?
Yep.
With Glasgow and Kelly. Two of the best linebackers in the country, period. Two probable draft picks, period. So that's not a group that I'm worried about that much, the linebacker group. And we start on that side. We can talk about the wide receiver group as well, because that's also a stacked room with good young talent. And I just, Chase Roberts, Cody Hagan is going to take a huge step forward this year. Banged up a little bit last year, but and people are saying, can we replace the speed? Cody Hagan ran 10 500 meters in high school. Don McKenzie ran 10 500 meters in high school. There's all kinds of speed at that position group and a lot of great young talent. It's similar to linebacker group where guys were going to be pushing for playing time because you're trying to get those young guys experience. So now those young guys are just going to get a little more experience, a little faster. I love that you got a couple of guys coming back that played a bunch in Chase Roberts and Parker Kingston. And maybe where you miss Keelan the most is in the return game.
Yeah.
Because he's so dynamic in the return game. And honestly, he's already got a couple of offers out there that he's posted online. Those places like Oklahoma, and some of these places that have looked at him, this is what they're looking at him for. They're going, yeah, the guy's good at wide receiver, but he's electric at the return man. That's where he's going to be missed the most. But again, Parker Kingston, who's returned punts, can return kicks. Cody Hagan, we were just scratching the surface with Cody. Very good return guy and could see time at that kick return spot. Don McKenzie, another guy that I mentioned, with blazing speed. They can play out there. And Enoch Nalhini has experience in the kick return game too. So the I hate to see them both go. They were going to play critical roles and be tremendous competitors. I'm not downplaying the fact that they're leaving, but it's not a coincidence that they're leaving a room that has a lot of young talent that they know we're going to get playing time, that also has veteran talent that are the looked to guys. If you're Harry Taggart, you're great. You're a great player. And you're playing alongside Kelly and Glasgow. So you're always kind of considered the third guy. I get why they're thinking maybe I'd test the waters. I don't begrudge them looking outside. But these are position groups where BYU is loaded. So I'm not that worried about it.
Blaine, great insight into the always fascinating and head-scratching transfer portal scenarios. BYU, Jeremy and I discussed, we feel like they should be okay because the depth remains there. And we're just hoping, fingers crossed, that nobody else enters the portal by tomorrow because that's when it closes.
Yeah, and remember, I haven't even mentioned portal guys. BYU's actively – look, if there's a great receiver in the portal, BYU take a look. But here's the thing that everybody needs to understand. BYU's got a matrix that they work off of in football and basketball – and they're not going to overpay for somebody. They're going to compete. They're going to pay fair market value. They're not going to overpay. So if there's somebody in the portal looking to step up and play for a top 15 program that fits into the program at wide receiver, BYU's going to take a look at that. So we could see some things happen. Portal closes, but those guys are in there, and you may see a pickup in the portal.
Blaine, good to talk to you, brother. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Blaine.
All right, guys, thanks. Miss you guys.
Miss you.
Miss you. Blaine Fowler back on BYU Sports Nation.
If you miss any interview shows, D-Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com and the free BYU TV app.
Still on the way, more records go down on the track for BYU runners, including a BYU signee breaking a national high school record. Plus, how did BYU's runners do this morning in the Boston Marathon? Headlines up next.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation continues live from Studio B, the actual Studio B.
There was a Studio B on the ship. We were very confused.
Yes. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out your Monday headlines.
Wide receiver and kick return specialist Keelan Marion entered his name into the transfer portal Friday night. He led BYU in all-purpose yards, second leading receiver from a year ago. He was the first-team All-American kick return specialist as well. Two kick return TDs tied for most in FBS.
BYU linebacker Harrison Taggart, we've also discussed at length the impact of him entering his name into the transfer portal over the weekend. By the way, 3 minutes ago, he just doubled down and tweeted, "I'm officially in the transfer portal." So someone had reported it. Now it's coming from his actual account on X. Taggart, second on the team, with 69 tackles a year ago, behind only Isaiah Glasker's 70 tackles. 2.5 tackles for loss, 1 sack, and an interception as well for Jay Hill's defense.
Number 8 men's volleyball went 2-0 this weekend against number 7 Pepperdine at the Smith Fieldhouse. Wrapped up the regular season, winning in 5 and 4 sets. BYU's the 3 seed in the MPSF tournament. They await the winner of Stanford and Menlo in the quarterfinals Thursday night in Malibu.
BYU softball swept the series against Utah, won the final 2 games on Friday and Saturday. On Friday night, BYU scored 9 runs in the bottom of the 7th. Capped by Ale Agbayani's 3-run walk-off home run to win 10-8. On Saturday, BYU winning 14-5. They had another 9-run inning in that game. The Cougars are 11-7 in Big 12 play. They are tied for 4th in conference. Saturday's win, Ilovea Brittingham broke BYU's freshman RBI record for a season with 62 RBIs on the season.
Baseball dropped the final 2 games of the series against number 22 Arizona, 5-4 on Friday night, 7-5 Saturday. BYU 6-12 in Big 12 play. Batcats back at it tonight at Utah Valley, 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and ESPN+.
Some notable track and field highlights over the weekend. BYU signee Jane Hedengren shattered her own national high school 5K record at the Brian Clay Invitational with a time of 14 minutes, 57 seconds, 93 hundredths, becoming the first high school girl ever to go sub 15 minutes in the 5K.
Wow.
Sammy Oblad broke her own school record in the 400 meters with a time of 51.79 seconds, the 20th fastest time in the NCAA this season. And the men's 4x400 relay team of Eli Hazlett, Josh Taylor, Jonah Haymooley, and Trey Jackson ran the second fastest time in program history, 3 minutes, 3 seconds, and 5 hundredths.
Amazing. 3 BYU runners finished in the top 7 of the Boston Marathon this morning. Congratulations. Connor Mance, 4th overall, 2 hours, 5 minutes, 8 seconds. Rory Linkletter from Canada, BYU guy, took 6th.
Let's go.
207.02. Clayton Young took 8th, so top 8, rather, with a time of 207.04. Congratulations. That was 7th. 3 in the top 7 of the Boston Marathon.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
Just BYU's 3 Olympians, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're 3 Olympians.
That's right.
Justin Sterner, as we get to Batcats in the bigs.
He's in my eldest quorum. He's my homie.
Pitched another scoreless inning for the A's. Not sure where they're attributed to right now. Just the A's.
They're just the Athletics. That's what they're calling themselves. Yeah.
5-3 loss to the Brewers, who are in Milwaukee. Have a location.
Nice.
Sterner has yet to give up a run in 10 and a third innings pitched this season. Let's go.
That's amazing.
Daniel Schneeman had his start at second base and went 1-for-2 with a double and a run scored for the Guardians and a 3-0 win over the Pirates on Saturday. It's good to have Batcats in the bigs.
By the way, Pete Nakos of On3 says Keelan Marion's hearing from Colorado, working to line up a visit. Would we want him on the opposing sideline this year?
No.
No,
Keelan. Exactly. I love him so much. I don't want BYU to have to compete against him.
No. Although it would be a little fun, let's be honest. But no.
Would he join us on the show? To preview whatever matchup that would be. After the break, we spoke with BYU linebacker Ciale Acera during Cruising with the Cougs. This is before the Harrison Taggart news dropped, but he had some great things to say. This is BYU Sports Nation. BYU Sports Nation rolls on live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. We had a fantastic opportunity to speak to so many of the athletes on the ship, including Ciale Acera. Well, I guess technically this was in Ensenada, right?
Yeah.
We were in Ensenada when this interview happened to wrap up spring football and talk about how he plans to play a very emerging role in BYU's defense this season.
And again, this was before the Harrison Taggart news had come out, but he seems like he's the guy.
Ciale Acera on BYU Sports Nation.
Ciale, you're the last to go here of the 3 BYU football players that we came over and interviewed in Ensenada. Now you have the final say.
You can pile on if you'd like, yeah.
So how do you want to, I guess, leave this message and help people feel about what actually happens between linebackers and running backs in BYU practices?
You guys should know and already know. And if you don't, practices are run by the defense. It's kind of an overall initiative that we all know that defense runs the practice, wins every rep, takes control, and is just dominant on that field, on that practice field. I'm sorry to all the offense guys. Not really, but, you know, I got to say it just to be polite, but yeah,
that's how it is.
The reality. That's okay. How it is, you know.
See, Cougar Nation thinks there's one team, and there is in the fall. But in the spring and fall camp, two teams, right? You guys go back and forth. So there's sort of a desired balance, because if you guys are dominating, that's not great news, right?
Yeah.
You need a little back and forth. So how much do they actually win a little bit now and then?
None. I'm sorry.
It's just straight imbalance.
I don't think
this is true, but
yeah, it's just straight defensive dominance out there. So, yeah.
Shelly, what's it like to be on this cruise and to be on the boat with, I think, around 3,000 BYU fans?
3,500.
Yeah. 3,500 BYU fans. How's that experience for you?
I mean, there's nothing other to say than it's just a blessing to just be here. You know, just being on this earth, being on this cruise, cruising with the Cougs, it's a blessing overall. You know, I got to thank God, you know, being able to put me in this position to be here. You know, nothing is impossible without him, you know. So this right now is just a major blessing. It's so fun. Got to meet so many new people, so many Cougar fans. Got to experience what it's like to just be around fans overall. Because, you know, we get it here and there at Lavelle Edwards, but, you know, we're mostly on the field. We don't really get to connect with them like we do on this cruise. And it's just such a blessing. So it's been good.
It was a cool moment last night where we're, you know, going through the opening ceremony thing and everyone's coming out. And I was walking backstage and I was like, look at who is here. Was there anyone that really stuck out for you where you were like, oh, look at so-and-so's here?
We got PETA that was there.
PETA, my boy.
So when I walked in the backstage and we were all preparing to walk out, and I peeked the corner, I was like, holy crap, is that actually him? Then I looked to my left again. Then we got Buck.
Oh, yeah, Jason Buck. Buck.
I was like, Outland Trophy winner?
Yeah.
Crazy. Then out of nowhere, we get Jimmer Fredette walking in backstage. I'm like, there's no way. So I was able to do the day in the life yesterday, took out the camera, turned it on, whipped it up, started recording. I was like, I got to get him in the video. So tune in for the day in the life. You'll
yes.
see us.
Can't wait.
See us backstage and saying hi to all those greats, all those OGs, man. It's great to meet them.
No question, this is a well-earned rest after spring football. How are you feeling coming out of spring ball health-wise and just as a team overall?
Oh, yeah, so healthy, man. It's been good. Just being able to be back 100%, just going without, like, holding back at all, it's been amazing. And our team, man, we've been grinding. It's been a grind. We've been pushing real hard, especially as, like a whole. We've been, like, increasing our unity, especially. Like, we've had more, like, planned activities together, hang out with each other. Just, like, being around each other as, like, a team has made, like, a whole difference. Mm-hmm. Like, so much, and it's been so good to just be around the boys all the time. You know, they really like brothers now, and so it's been really good. But man, we've been progressing so much. Like, our thing that we've been trying to do is just get better every time we step on that field. Every day that we go through practice is to never try not to make the same mistakes you made the day before. That's how we get better, you know. So it's been a good journey, it's been a good process, and so right now it's just amazing to see how far we've come, and can't wait to see what the future's like, man.
When you signed with BYU, we were stoked. We had you in studio. You had the big interception against TCU. And remind me, you got injured, and then that kind of bled into last season a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah, so the injury, you know, took over the beginning part of the last season. And towards the end of it, got to see a lot more playing time, especially in that last game. They cut me loose, let me play, and it was so fun. I forgot how it felt, man. It's been a minute since I played with no strings attached, and it felt so good. Like, there's no other feeling than playing the game you love at 100%, just going at it. And so I loved it, man.
Feeling good going into next year and through spring ball, you said?
Yes, yes, of course.
And remind me, was it an ACL?
Liz Frank. On the foot, yeah.
Liz Frank, man, not a fan of her.
Yes. She is not good. Yes, I'll tell you that now.
What was it like to recover from that? That's not an easy one.
It was harsh. I'm not going to lie. It was it hurt a lot of pain, but pushing through it is part of the process. You know, you got to keep going, trying to get it better. But, you know, ultimately, thank the Lord above. The surgery went well. Rehab went well. I'm able to play now, hit this spring running. So it was good.
Okay, I know that you played running back in high school as well at times. Okay.
Did everybody that played running back at BYU, Timview, come to BYU? Is that what happened?
Maybe.
Because we talked to two of them.
Yes. Hey,
what would happen if you got a shot to play running back for BYU? Do you feel like you could still bring it?
Oh, yes. Oh, most definitely. If I was a running back, the roles that I just said, it would be offensive dominance. I'm just letting you guys know. Just throwing that out there right now.
Offenses would run the practices.
Yes, offenses.
If you were playing running back,
throw me in, Coach Harf. Just
one man wrecking machine. Speaking of a tip, you running back.
Yes.
Every single one.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Now, Shelly, you've leaned out, man.
I have.
Okay. Yes. So how are you feeling physically overall?
Great. I feel amazing. You know.
Faster, I'm assuming.
Way faster. It's been really good. Just being able to lose that weight, you really didn't think it would be much, like maybe like 6 pounds, but man, it made that much of a difference when I came out. So it's really good, man. It's just slimming down, taking control of your body, just making sure you're staying on top of it, being healthy. Hey, there's a big difference. From you'll notice a way, way significant increase in just like your performance and how you feel. And it's really good.
And are you playing middle backer?
I am.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Good luck keeping the 6 pounds off on the cruise.
Luckily, we got time to make it up.
Yes. Yeah, that's definitely a challenge. But, hey, I'm going to step up to that challenge.
Let's
so
go.
We'll try.
Thanks.
Try hit the workout every once in a while in the morning and then always in the afternoon. So, yes. got to keep it off somehow, you know?
Yes, sir. So. Yoga, Zumba, and whatever else you like.
Yep. Okay. Little basketball, little wave rider, little everything. Everything.
Everything. Can't go wrong.
Sally, thanks for the time, brother.
Thank you, guys.
If you missed any of our interviews with guests like Jim McMahon, Jim Fredette, Klein Satake from Cruising with the Cougs, you can find them anytime on demand on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
After the break, we wrap up today's show. And you know the drill with our elite voice or response of the day. And a rising shout out to a very emotional senior night for BYU men's volleyball. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store. Official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station with our question of the day. With Keelan Marion and Harrison Taggart officially entering the transfer portal, how would their departures impact BYU football? At Haas P on X. Pat Haas back in the game.
That's good.
Says, we don't know, but we're about to find out.
Well done. Well done. At Rock Talk BYU on X. The sad but honest truth about college sports is that as much as I'll miss Keelan and Harrison, we will find replacements in the portal in a matter of days. It is a bummer, but the reality is it's somewhat transactional. But we would like to think that the impact that these guys had will always be tied to the 2024 season. They were part of BYU's first great Big 12, or very good, whatever you want to say, Big 12 team.
So, Rock Talk says they'll find replacements in the portal. I don't know that BYU will, or frankly, needs to.
They can. They don't need to. Would it be nice to add another speedy receiver with good hands that you could use in the jet sweep and on kickoff returns?
For the rest of forever and ever, yes.
Yeah,
the answer to
that
question is yes.
Do they need another middle linebacker? Remember, the rosters are going from 120 down to 105.
That's what I was going to say. Like, they've already got a cut, so, like, will they?
They've made cuts. That's why you've seen certain guys jump in the portal.
Our elite voice of the day presented by Pax Healthcare.
I'm not saying
Healthcare.
These two were cut, by the way. I'm referring to other people.
Healthcare Elevated. CJ Wildboy on Instagram says, they were big impact players, but BYU has the guys. Will I miss them? Yes. End of the world? No.
Is there an end of the world potential transfer? I'm not sure. Isaiah Glasker.
If Isaiah Glasker had transferred or Jack Kelly, like
yeah,
those.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So the Jake Retzloff had transferred?
Are there other people? I don't know. Yeah, you hope not, right?
Okay.
You hope they don't transfer.
Today's Rising Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Men's volleyball, emotional senior night. BYU beat Pepperdine in four. Mix Ramanis had his best game of the season, 18 kills, 3 aces, hit 483.
Love it.
He was emotional when talking about his experience at BYU.
I love the Rock. I love this place. This place meant so much to me. I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. I love these guys. I've never had more fun on a team. These guys are my brothers. They need anything I play for them. They need anything from me, I'm there for them. And then, oh man, I wish I could keep showing that love to this place, but my time has come, and I'm just really appreciative. I'm very thankful to this university and everything it's given me. They took a chance on me, and I, and I, I like to think I worked hard and I got it. So it's been, I'm just feeling everything right now.
The greatest Latvian Lutheran athlete in BYU sports history. That's a very specific combination, but we're going to miss Mix. He was awesome, man.
I appreciate just how transparent he was there.
Yeah.
Vulnerable.
BYU versus Stanford or Menlo Thursday night in the MPSF quarterfinals. Cool.
Get it done. Mix and the boys. Our thanks to today's guests, Blaine Fowler and Ciale Acera.
Sorry to Dennis, although we did make time last week for him.
Lots of time.
And it was fun to see Dennis. It was great.
Fans reminded him that he had time. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Peter Quest. We'll see you tomorrow back here in Studio B. Go Cougs!